let's meditate. Let's, we're going in, as I like to say. We're going in. Let's go all the way in and see what's stirring up the brew within. So that we may manifest this day in a way even better than what we had already imagined. So take a breath. Now, I always like to start my meditations with the Christ in me is awake now. For what is the Christ but my memory of God? It's certainly not a person, it's a consciousness. And so that reminder of what I want to know is awake in me, and then experiencing the awakening, it's the most powerful part of my day. So I say the Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. Christ in me, light in me, love in me, joy in me, harmony in me, health in me, wealth in me, all awake now, wisdom in me, life in me, all the good that God is, awake in me now. With all of this good awake, alive, alert, awake, my confidence deepens. My confidence in being me on this day, or in this day, in this body, at this time. My confidence says, yes, this moment actually is good in ways far beyond what I have conceived. Good in ways that is bigger and brighter and more generous than I had planned. My confidence expands with each thought of God the good, and myself the good, and my neighbor the good. My confidence expands as I open my eyes and I pay attention to all of the good within and around. My confidence expands as I open my eyes and I pay attention to the good within and all around. So let's take that thought into the silence. And let's see what comes up. Let's go on in. My confidence expands now that I have seen. Now that I have seen the awakening of the good that is, that the good that I am is. I have great confidence in this day, and I'm excited about what's next. So in that thought, let's start to bring our awareness back here to this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. So my friend, Reyesa Katona Bennett, and she's one of my longest friends. Doesn't mean she's tall, means we've known each other a very long time. And we don't say oldest anymore. And so Reyesa Katona Bennett.
Thank you. Good afternoon. You've been searching the world to find true love, looking in all the wrong places, and all of the time you've been blind to love. It's plain as the nose on your faces. It's here.
Different for this weekend to talk about love. Because I doubt any other church in all the world is talking about love here about Valentine's Day weekend. And it's an opportunity to speak of love and get beyond the surface of it. Take it to a deeper level, because it's so easy to say, I love potato chips. I love cookies. That's a little shallow, isn't it? Delicious, but shallow. And it doesn't bring us to any greater understanding. One of my favorite statements I ever heard in Unity was, God doesn't love you because God can't not love you. God is love itself. And that was a very satisfying statement for me, because then I don't have to worry about earning God's love. I can actively, consciously participate in it, but I can know there's never an absence of love. Never, ever is there an absence of it, even though I don't understand it. And I don't understand it because my mind can't grasp the bigness of it. The best my mind can do is accept it. Just accept love is love. It's here. It's got to be good, whatever that means, and that I don't have to worry about the rest of it. And then I can go within and say, do I want to actively participate in it? Do I want a deeper and greater understanding of it? But the frustrating part for us humans is that we still won't get enough words to describe it. There are no words. It's like God. In the old days, you can't say the word God. Well, it's not that you can't say the word God, and I know a lot of religionists and things, they'll put a hyphen, G, hyphen, D, and what have you. It's not that. It's that you cannot describe God. And God is love, and love is God, so you cannot describe love. Because if I said to you, well, what is love? You could say, well, it's this, this, and this. Oh, but it's also this, this, and this. Oh, but it's also this, 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 and this. The most frustrating part about love and God is that it isn't nice. It does not allow for exception to law. Law is, and that's what love is it takes away any exceptions to divine law. And we should be relieved of that if you're not trying to get away with something. You know, I could work around things for my grandmother, who would still give me an extra dessert even if I hadn't behaved that day. But with God, I can have all the desserts I want and pay the price for all those desserts, and not get to live what I want. There is a result for too much dessert. There's a result for overindulgence in order to satisfy the ego, the egoic body, the egoic mind. It's not a punishment, it's just a result. And so to look at it and realize, oh, I can take great relief if I choose in knowing there are results. Something that grinds me in a restaurant, when somebody says, oh, I'm gonna be bad and have dessert tonight. And I want to. It's like, knock it off. Don't assuage your guilt. Have dessert if you want dessert. Just that you may or may not gain weight. You may not. And if you do gain weight, well, love yourself anyway. And if you drop weight, love yourself anyway. It's not, the body is not what I am. Keep thinking it is. So if you have really sore feet or legs, as David and I have had lately with all the moving we've done, it's hard to realize I'm not my sore feet or my sore legs. I'm not my physical stuff. I'm God's beloved child. The I am of me. And I don't know what that is, but I assume it's good. Wouldn't you assume that's good? Yeah. Let me read this. This comes from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. And Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, wrote about love. The metaphysical definition of love. Love is a divine attribute. It is an idea in the one mind. God is love, and love is God. We have that there. These are important little things to take with you throughout your day. God is love, and love is God. And or a quality of being. The difference between the difference between divine love and human love is that divine love is broad and unlimited. Like that. A universal and harmonizing power. Human love is based on personality. Now, this is not meant for guilt, but it says, and is selfish, lawless, and fickle. And it is. Oh, my human love is so whimsical. Based on how I think and feel tonight, and based on how you look tonight. Not nice, but in reality, there's only one love. When man, woman, person, expresses divine love in limited ways, they make a separation in consciousness. And their expression of love is personal instead of universal. So much of what my love is based on is how whatever it is makes me feel. Except it doesn't make me feel that way. And it's what I tell myself about it based on the sensations. If I take a bite of the right cake, if I have the right conversation, it's what cigarettes used to do for me, alcohol used to do for me, a fun night out used to do for me, because the whole time I'm telling myself, oh, this feels good. I need to keep doing this, and maybe I should do it twice as much. Because, oh, if it makes me feel this good now, let me do it a lot more. And then suddenly one day it doesn't feel so good. And so my mind is confused because it told me it was going to satisfy me. And it didn't. Because if it had, I wouldn't have wanted so much more of it, to the point where I couldn't get enough of it, to the point where I got too much of it. And so to pay attention to that, you know, and the old song, you made me love you. Well, no, you didn't. It'd be a great song, but no, you didn't. I told myself to love you based on what I thought you were, your essence is, whatever, based on how I believed I felt when you did or do whatever it is you do. Because when you stop doing that, or when what you do is no longer cute, even though it's the exact same thing, because cute at 20 is not cute at 60. By establishing ourselves in the consciousness of divine love and expressing that love at all times, we are helped to fulfill the command. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. The development of divine love has its place in demonstrating supply. When love is established in the consciousness, it will draw to us all that we require to make us happy and contented, all that really belongs to us. We develop love in our heart by asking daily that the infinite love of the, he writes here, Father, you can use whatever term you want, be poured out upon us. By praying, meditating, and affirming that we are one with and express at all times the perfect love of God. That's logical. So the talk today is called Look for Love in All the Right Places. And anybody ever looked for love in the wrong places? There's a reason. There's a song about it. There's an absolutely qualifying reason for that song. Do you mind? Right, my bottle of water is right behind my coat there on the bench. Sorry. Excuse me. Where'd you go? There you go, thank you. Okay. God is still good. Thank you. And peace be to you. What the gift. So look for love in all the right places, which means do your best to stop making it up and do your best to start letting it be revealed. We are loved in places we have not yet imagined, and we are loved by people who don't know that they love us, and we have to start loving others who don't know that they could be loved by us. David and I had friends, well, Mitchell and Michael, they used to come here. And what they did is they would do drive-by kamikaze prayer. Whereas every day they would think of somebody who could use some prayer. and they would say a prayer for them. And they didn't tell them. They didn't call them up and say, I prayed for you today. They just did it. And it's what it does is it connects us. Connects us. What if we all decided we have no enemies? I have no enemies today. Could we say that together?
I have no enemies today.
So there's the denial part of the prayer. Now the affirmation then is, I have only friends today. Let's say that together.
I have only friends today.
Well, fantastic. Now you have to remind yourself of that through the day. I used to have somebody who studied with me, and in his office, he all dreaded answering the phone. And I said, start affirming every time it rings, only friends call me here. Mm-hmm. And it changed. Everything shifted for him when he started doing that. And it was uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable because he was in the habit of expecting an enemy to call. Somebody who wanted money, somebody who was going to fail him in business, somebody who was going to do something that just dissatisfied his day because he was attached to being dissatisfied. He was attached to it and then wondered why he couldn't prosper, why he couldn't thrive. And some of us might be wondering now, how am I going to prosper? How am I going to thrive? Things are different. They look different. They sound different in the world. Well, it's the same God. It's the same God today that was there yesterday and the day before. And so, people are not the boss of my prosperity. Nobody is the boss of my prosperity or my love. Well, can I give a shot? You want to open that for me?
Yeah.
This didn't happen until I got up here, by the way. Nobody is the boss of, imagine that. Nobody is the boss of my love. I'll be right there, Tony.
I was going to move it, but then I said no.
No. Nobody decides who I love. Not even the people who offend me. And they offend me because I tell myself to be offended. You understand that? You tell yourself, you turn on the TV, you turn on the news, you reopen the paper. They say, Well, they're not telling you to not love them. You're telling yourself not to love them. For some of us, it's our parents' call. And we tell ourselves not to love them because what they did 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. We tell ourselves not to love people because they're not worthy. We tell ourselves not to love them because they have discriminated against my race. We tell ourselves not to love them because they have discriminated against my sexuality. We tell ourselves not to love them because they have discriminated against, my religion. We tell ourselves not to love them because they have discriminated, it would seem, against me. Well, it's a toughie, isn't it? At the same time, I can decide, right here, right now, to open my eyes to love. David wrote that for the movie Lizzie McGuire. And I just thought it was a great song today. I wanted to hear everybody else sing those lyrics. Open your eyes to love. And so, if I'm looking into history of America, if I'm looking into the history of the world, and I realize, or my Bible, nobody looks at that, and I see people have discriminated against somebody or other since the beginning of time. Oh, that Cain and Abel thing. When Cain discriminated against his brother and then lied about killed him, lied about it. And the world evolved somehow through from four people last year, and somehow they appropriated and went to town. And that's what makes us all related. And so to look at the discrimination, but still it's always, I can't love them because of what they did. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can. And I know because I decided to love my parents and my family despite what they did. I wanted to love my mother. I wanted to love my family. I have a highly abused background, and I wasn't happy being mad at them. I just wasn't happy, and I wanted to be happy, and this is before I found Unity. And I thought, well, I can love them. They don't have to love me back. They don't have to like me. They don't have to want me around. And at Christmas time, when I went home to Pennsylvania to see my family, and I walked in the door and I hugged my mother, and she was so glad to be hugged by me. And I hugged by one of my brothers, and I think he was happy. At first I could tell. And my oldest brother was horrified. What are you doing? And it was like I molested him. I mean, I just hugged. It was so foreign and so uncomfortable, because it would mean rethinking things. And then each time I went home, it got better. And I've told this story, but there was one Christmas I was home. He was in a mood. And I walked in the door and said, oh, okay, let's get this out of the way. And he hugged me. And on the way last night in town, I kind of had it with him. And so we had dinner, and we went out, and I said, okay, see you next time. And I went to my car. And ever since then, his arms have been out to me. And we're very good friends now. I wanted to love my family. I still struggle with the various people in the world. Sometimes they're people who used to be friends, and I think, I don't know how to love this person because I don't feel a connection. So I just have to decide, I'm going to love them anyway. I don't know what it means. I'm open to the experience of love. Now, important reading. Step behind my desk here. This comes from Matthew chapter 7 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And it says, look after your own heart, that it may be healed. Lay down your judgments and ask only for love now. Do not take my words lightly without practice. For to listen and to agree, but not to practice, is not to have heard, and one who will not hear cannot be healed. Seek out the prayers of your heart. Ask your Father, God, whatever you want to call it, to make it whole again. For your Father knows that your heart seeks to be made whole and awaits only your willingness to give what you ask. Trust your Father, your God, to give as you ask truly, but know that it is the healthy heart God listens to. If your heart is sick and it asks God to grant it its sickness, the Father does not listen. God waits until his child asks that he be healed, and then the Father reveals his gifts that they may be used for the purpose that they were intended. For the Father will not assist the Son in maintaining his sickness, but the Father will point the willing Son in the direction of his health, that he may be made whole through his own willingness. And most of us would think we're willing to be healed. And yet, we don't seem to want to give up some of our habitual thinking, some of our habitual words, and we're not bad for that. We just maintain confusion. And so we have to break the habit. One of the words I suggest everyone drop from their vocabulary for now, forever and ever, and the word is bad. Take away the word bad from your vocabulary. Now it has a whole different meaning. The word I use is, ooh, this one's hard. Because what it is it's hard to accept into my consciousness. It's hard to receive and do something with, but it's not bad. Bad puts it in a box. Hard, there's no way through. I just don't know what it is yet. And so to pay attention to that in your practice. Very important. So here we go. Therefore, see your, it says your brothers, but sisters, your family, let's call them, as yourself. Know that their heart is the same as yours. And although they may seem to ask for sickness, their heart knows it wants its health. How do you know when someone is asking you to help give them more sickness? When they read, whenever they gossip. When they want to call themselves terrible names. When they want to call other human beings on the planet terrible names. When they want to just insist that misery abounds. We had a good friend write to us the other day and said, are you worried that your house hasn't sold? And I thought, well, I don't need that. That's not helpful. Because I knew what would have, if David responded and said, well, yes, then even though this person loves us a lot, they would then go and tell their friends, oh, David and Sean are really worried about their house. And you see, and that's how we maintain sickness. That's how we maintain dis-ease. We get together and we talk about each other, even the ones we really, really have great affinity for. So you can imagine what we're saying about the ones we don't. Some of you may have said those things about some of the ones, and it's rough. So it says here, although they may seem to ask for sickness, their heart knows it wants its health. So do not answer the cry for sickness by returning anger for anger or hurt for hurt. We really clear here? Mm-hmm. Do not return anger for anger or hurt for hurt. Pay attention to what you're thinking about other beings, even if you think they deserve your wrath. Pay attention. You're coming. You came to church today. You came to unity today because you want your health. You want your spiritual health. You want your mental health. You want your financial health. You especially want your physical health. You want all of your health. Therefore, return health to the world that you want to experience. Very important. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go to the next part. John. Book of John. It says, fear not. Confusion cannot last. Confusion calls out to be healed, so that all confusion calls to the one will that would heal it. That one will is the alignment of a will. Without the conflict of a separate will to confuse it, accept the light by accepting one will, and you accept the will of the light. And with that, you accept all things, for all things are one will, for there is only one will in reality. The will of all things is love. And love is the will under which all things operate. For where there is not love, there is nothing, as love is all there is. Why do you not see love if love is all there is? This is very important. Why do we not see love? If love is all there is, well, it is your fear that hides the truth from you. What do you fear that you should hide your face from love? You fear one will, and knowing that one will must be love, you also fear love. This is why you choose conflict. It is not love, and you fear love, because you fear one will. That you know that one will without conflict must be love. So here's the deal, gang. We all want to know love to the depth of our being. We want to know it in every aspect of our being. And that includes the people that aren't doing things my way. They want to know love. My family wanted to know love. They were afraid of it. For fear it would look different than they had imagined. My neighbors wanted to know love, and they feared it. Why are there so many different churches in the world? They all want to know love. They all preach it, but they fear a unified love. Universal politics wants to know love, or politicians at least, wants to know love, but they fear it because it will look different than what they have perceived it as. Unity taught me love is going to be different than what I thought it was when I walked in the door. And then I found out it was better than what I had perceived it as when I walked in the door all those years ago. Love is amazing, especially when I can accept, I don't know what it is. I can't describe it, but I can feel it. I know the difference between love and not love. I'm looking over and over and over again, while I have this body and this mind, to keep finding love where it is, instead of seeking for love where it isn't. There's no absence of love. There's only my either willingness or unwillingness to see it and experience it. I'm responsible. Not for guilt, not for shame, not for blame, but for seeing it. Reyesa just sang what David wrote about. Open your eyes to love. Reyesa is about to sing what happens when you see it.
This is a true story too, by the way. It is. I held on. hold tight. And I've got my dream now.
Thank you so much, Anna.